believe whatever you need tonight, you can get it. Now, here's the secret. If there's a secret, this is what it is. You can't act like the way you are. You've got to go ahead and behave the way you want to behave when you get the way you want to be. In other words, if I am depressed, I'm not going to stand like I'm depressed. I'm going to push through my depression and at least clap a pinky. Come on, somebody. If I'm down and out, I'm not going to sit like I'm down and out. I'm at least going to stand to my feet and tap my foot a little bit. Come on, and if I've got the victory, I'm not going to act like I'm still bound. I'm going to shout to the Lord. Come on, we're going to sing it one more time. And some of you just right on the brink of letting loose and dancing. Some of you haven't danced for years if you've ever danced. What a great night, this Sunday night in February of 2017, just to go ahead. You know, they've been dancing in the bars. And you know, this little thing called the Super Bowl. So y'all didn't know that was going on, or you wouldn't be here tonight. You'd be home. What? No, no, no. Aren't you glad you're at church? And there are people in football stadiums down in Texas going to cheer and yell and holler till they have no voice left. And I'm not going to let some football fan make more noise than me over a football game, because no football player ever gave his life for me, and no football player ever died for me and saved me. So I have been loose. I've been set free. Come on now. I have been loose.
I've been set free.
From the Lord tonight, in Jesus' name. He needs a breakthrough tonight. He needs a miracle from the Lord. I believe that while we're singing and shouting, we could pray for one another. We could pray for Brother Pace, who's not here tonight. I don't think he's here. He's home sick. And who else was sick tonight? Gary is home. Gary Aylott is home sick. The Gundermans are not here tonight. They are home sick. There's all these sick people. They would be at church. My wife, thank God she's back tonight. She was at home this morning sick, and I know she still needs a touch from the Lord. How many of you just need a touch in your body tonight? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and sing one more time. Why don't you reach out by faith? I believe while we're worshiping, God's going to touch Brother Pace and the Gundermans. And Gary Aylock going to feel something hit his body. And he can be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever you need, let's go ahead and give him praise. Come on, why don't you just go ahead and enjoy the Holy Ghost for a moment. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. All right, let me preach to you real quick, okay? If you're able to go back to your seat, go back to your seat. If you're not, you stay right where you are. Keep on praying. You singers, just stay close. Stay on the front row. Musicians, you can just stay where you are. I feel like I got a word from the Lord tonight, and I know we could go on all night long. Of faith. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You can be seated in the name of the Lord. I really mean to abbreviate this tonight, and then I realize I didn't bring about half of my notes up here, so it will be abbreviated. I wanted to read some commentary for you, but I don't believe that's in the will of the Lord. So we're just going to fill in some things for you. And that is that Paul here, speaking to the Galatians, is dealing with them about their temptation to go back to the law, to go back to the Torah or to the Mosaic law. And that's exactly what this scripture is dealing with, is Paul saying to them, look, you started with the Spirit. Now, it would be a natural progression for them to start lower and go and proceed higher. It would be a natural progression. In fact, it's the way that it originally happened, would be to start with the law of the Old Testament or the Torah. And then as the Spirit was made available, they would graduate. That's how it happened on the day of Pentecost, was they were under the law, and then here comes the Spirit, and they graduated to the Spirit. But he says, Galatians, you didn't start there. You started with the Spirit. You have begun your walk with God in the Holy Ghost. And now come these false teachers and these bewitching spirits that try to bring you back. And they were wrestling with going back to the law. And namely, they were wrestling with going back to circumcision. And Paul is saying to them, if you go back to the works of the flesh, then all these things that you've endured as Christians, you've been persecuted for Christ's sake, and you've gone through some things for the name of Christ, all these things that you've gone through as Christians, you've done it in vain, because you're going to go back and start somewhere where God does not intend for you to begin. So he says to them, you're foolish and you're being bewitched, that you should obey the truth, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth. And he says to them in verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now the threat for the Galatians was that they might go back to trusting in the law for their salvation, that they would be justified by works rather than faith. The risk for today's believers is the same, but it's different. We don't struggle with going back to the Torah or to the Mosaic law for our salvation, but can I say it this way? Works is works, and flesh is flesh. And if we begin leaning on the flesh for that which can only be produced by the Spirit, then we, just as the Galatians were, we are in the terrible motion of backsliding. And God help us that it never be said of us, O foolish Pentecostals, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And so I stand here tonight and remind you, Turning Point Apostolic Church, I would remind you, Pentecostal Church, that we did not begin this glorious walk in the flesh. For the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Catch this. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Watch this. As the Spirit, somebody shout Spirit, as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is a Spirit thing. This is a Spirit church. This is a Spirit experience. The Pentecostal movement is not about our flesh, but it's about the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you that the church was not born through the flesh, and we won't finish by the flesh. It was birthed by the Spirit, and the Spirit is the only thing that will take us through. We need more of God and less of us. And just as the Galatians had to contend with a bewitching spirit that would draw them away from the Spirit of God, so we contend with that very same spirit. Can I tell you, we must resist it at every turn. We must overcome it at every juncture. For failing to do so will leave us as a hollowed out shell, a memory of what church used to be. And I'm really talking tonight about the basic staples of the church. I'm really preaching to you about prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Disciples tried to cast a spirit out of a young man whose father brought him to Jesus, but couldn't find Jesus. So the disciples, maybe they'll do. And so they tried to cast the spirit out, but couldn't. And so Jesus comes and casts out the spirit, and they're bewildered by the fact that he could do it, but they couldn't do it. I really believe that they probably did everything that they had seen Jesus do. They went through the motions. Maybe they juked and jived a little bit. Maybe they added some little bit to what Jesus had done. Maybe they spoke in a loud, authoritative voice. Maybe they pointed their finger. Maybe they laid hands on the boy. But everything they did not work. And Jesus comes and casts the spirit out, and them being bewildered by the whole occurrence, begin to ask the Lord, why could we not cast the spirit out of the boy? And Jesus' response was very clear and very telling. He said, these things come not out but by prayer and fasting. In other words, prayer, more of him, and fasting, less of me. Can I tell you that the formula of revival in these last days is no secret formula? It's very simple. I need to pray and have more of God. And I need to fast and have less of me. I need to pray down the Spirit of God into my life, into my home, into my church. And I need to fast and crucify everything that is not like Christ that is in me, so that there's more of Him and less of me. I'm going to make up some phrases here, so bear with me. We preachers like to do this, but they're true statements nonetheless. I want to say it this way. You cannot fleshly fix, carnally correct, or physically patch. Yes, they're both P words. Let me say it again, because when I bother to alliterate, I want you to catch my alliteration. You cannot fleshly fix, you cannot carnally correct, and you cannot physically patch spiritual situations. Counseling, I believe in counseling. I believe the Bible tells us that that we need to seek a multitude of counseling and get a lot of counseling and seek advice and all of these things. But biblical counseling is something that we don't see a lot of anymore. We've come to the point where we've turned our pastors into counselors, and we'll come to our pastor and we haven't. Now listen, if I'm not talking about you, don't get offended. But if I am talking about you, don't get offended. Get convicted, all right? But we'll come to the pastor. We haven't even spent a week praying about the situation yet. And we want him to talk to us and counsel us and give us something that he read from a book, or maybe he got a word from God for us. Why don't you pray for yourself? Because you're not going to counsel away spiritual situations. And I can give you a word of advice, but if you haven't been praying, my counsel, you just can't counsel spiritual things. So before you ever come to me, spend some time in prayer. I don't want to help you if you can't pray about it first. I can't help you if God hasn't helped you. If you've not even sought the Lord, how am I going to help you? But if you pray about it, I'm going to tell you, a lot of things are solved on our knees in prayer. We get our answer in prayer. Anybody ever pray about something and God answered your prayer? Isn't it amazing how prayer works? Prayer changes things. Prayer unleashes heaven in our life. Prayer changes our perspective. Things that we thought were problems aren't even problems after we've spent a little time praying about it. Hallelujah. It's a good little thing to use on your children when they come to you saying, Mom, Dad, should I do this or that? Send them to prayer. Amen. Pastor, should I take this job that's going to keep me from ever coming to church? What did the Lord say? I didn't ask him. Go ask him. Amen. Should I take this job that's going to keep me away from my family? I'm never going to see my wife, never going to see my kids, but I'm going to make more money. Well, what did the Lord say to you? You can pray about these things just like I can. Should I date this person? Well, what did the Lord tell you about dating that person? Should I get married to this man, or what did the Lord tell you about getting married? If you listen to the Lord, and here's what I've discovered. I'm just going to be honest with you. I pastored long enough to know this, and I pastored long enough to tell you this and not lose any sleep over it. If you're not going to listen to the Lord, you ain't going to listen to me. And I don't want to even tell you the percentage of people that come to my office knocking on the door want to talk to me about my counsel, and what they really want is for me to condone what they've already decided they're going to do anyhow. They just want somebody's blessing. And if I say, I wouldn't do that, they're going to move on and say, well, I'm going to pray a little more about it. Well, you should have done that in the first place, for crying out loud. Find out what the Holy Ghost is telling you. I guarantee you the Holy Ghost doesn't always tell you what your flesh tells you. You won't do some of the stuff you do when you pray about it. You say, well, my flesh is so strong. That's where fasting comes in. We weaken our flesh and we strengthen our spirit, and we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. We doing okay? Hey, the Lord told you a while ago, you got to listen to this message. See why he told you that now? We think we can get answers out of reading if we read the right book, get the right author, get the right series. There's some good books out there. There are. I recommend reading to people all the time. But I'm going to tell you, you will not read your way out of a spiritual situation. There are some things you just got to pray through. And there are some good medications. I'm not anti-medication. But I will tell you that doctors over-medicate people every single day. And they throw meds at people who really do have spiritual issues. And so some things you just need to pray through, and you won't medicate a spiritual situation. Some things you've got to pray through. And I'm not against programs. I'm all for AA and Drug Addicts Anonymous and all of these things. They have their place. I'm not against them. I recommend them. I think they're great groups. But I'm just going to tell you, if there's a spiritual attachment to your addiction, and there often is, AA won't set you free from the spiritual attachment that's made itself so powerful in your life. Some things you're going to have somebody lay hold of you in prayer and pray the prayer of faith over your life. And some things you just got to pray through. And you won't program away a spiritual situation. You won't 12-step it away. You won't read it away. You won't counsel it away. Some things you just got to touch heaven for and pray through that thing. We need the Spirit of God. I'm telling you what we are at high risk of in this day and age. We are at high risk not of running back to the law, but we'll run back to fleshly things. And furthermore, not only will we not fix anything in the flesh, we won't have revival in the flesh. We won't have good services in the flesh. There'll be no miracles take place in the flesh. No full altars in the flesh. There'll be nobody praying through to the Holy Ghost and nobody being baptized in Jesus' name. Not in the flesh. We can have church in the flesh, but it won't be good church. We've been around long enough to know how to do it. We know the right buttons to push, and we know the right songs to sing, and we know all the ins and outs of this thing, and we could do it for a little while in the flesh, but eventually what we do in the flesh is supposed to be done in the spirit will flop. Amen. Music. I love music. I like to play music. I like to sing, and I like the music to be good, and I think we need to practice, and I think we need to have good songs, and I think the singing tonight's been spectacular and anointed, but can I tell you that if we start leaning on music and trying to replace the spirit and the anointing with good music, we will fall flat on our face. This Pentecostal church was not born with good music. It was born with the Spirit of God rushing into that upper room. And they didn't get out a bunch of guitars and drums and keyboards and start strumming and plucking and beating. They didn't do that on the day of Pentecost. Now, I thank God for music, and we need good music. I'm not against music. You know I'm not. I'm just telling you that we can have revival without a drummer and without a keyboard player and without a guitar. So if we have to, we don't have to have music. And so we better not lean too much on some of these things. And if you've ever left service and said, I just couldn't get with it because of the music, then you're in the wrong spirit. And you need to pray. Amen. And I like having the right atmosphere. I think it's good. We need to have the temperature good. We need to have, the lights are good. And the screen, all these things. This is good. This is good stuff. But we're not going to have revival just because we get the right atmosphere. And I'm not against polish and preparation. I think we ought to. I tell these men of God that preach behind this desk, I tell them, don't get up there with nothing prepared. Don't get up there without praying. Don't get up there without some notes. And don't get up there without having spent some time. Get up there, just shoot from the hip, whatever the Lord lays on my heart. Well, I know some preachers believe in that, but I just feel like if I'm going to take your time, I should have spent a little time with the Lord first. And if he changes directions on me, that's okay, but I'm at least going to come up here with something to say. And have prepared, and I'm not against that, and I'm not even against polishing things once in a while. I like having a clean building, and I try to hope I don't repulse anybody. Try to look in the mirror before I come to church, and all these things, and it's nice to have nice aesthetics in the church. That's all well and good, but that's not what brings revival. Polish and preparation does not revival make. See, well, how do you know, Brother Hawkins? Because they didn't have all that on the day of Pentecost. And they didn't have it in the third chapter of Acts. They didn't have it in the fifth chapter of Acts. They didn't have it in the ninth chapter of Acts. And there was nobody singing when Paul got smitten down on the road that day. There were no drums beating and no guitars playing and no pianos playing. There were no purple lights on the wall. And there was no thermostat controlling the temperature. And God still moved. And I've been around this long enough. I've sat in some nice churches like y'all sitting in tonight. I've sat in fancier churches than this one. And I've sat in churches, log cabin churches. My dad used to pastor Pine Grove for a year. And that was back when they were going through about a year at a time. He was one of them. And we were there. But I'm going to tell you, I felt the Holy Ghost in Pine Grove. Little log cabin church. I don't know. Wasn't anything fancy there. Not then. We had a lady that played the piano, and she knew about three or four chords. She knew how to pound. Pound, pound, pound. We didn't have a drummer. We had a guitar player who looked like if there were some nights you wonder if he's going to make it through the song service. Come on now. And I guarantee you the two of them never, ever, ever met outside of service time to practice a thing. And there wasn't any of this praying in the room, coming out a certain time, bringing up the lights. It's 7:30, time to start church. Preacher get up on the platform and say, Sister so-and-so, how about you leading song service? Well, I never thought about that. Sure, I can lead song service. Get up there and flip through the song book. Well, what are we going to sing? I don't know what we're going to sing. And you say, well, that sounds funny. Well, you know what? I've been in those services, and they opened the song book. There were no preparation, no polish. Wasn't fancy. They just started singing at the top of their lungs. There wasn't a harmony. Everybody wasn't on key. The guitar player wasn't playing the same. The piano player pounding on the... And still, when we began to worship God, because it was Pentecostal worship, we began to feel the presence of God. And I'm telling you, people would go to the altar and we would baptize people in the name of Jesus. I'm simply telling you, thank God for all the niceties, but we don't have to have the niceties to have revival. We've got to have the Spirit of God, and we can never let go of the Spirit of God. Come on, we need more people praying than we do prepping. We need more people praying than we need decorating. We need more people praying at the altar than practicing before church. Oh, I wish you believed what I was telling you tonight. Every one of these musicians and singers were up here tonight. We practiced. But after we practiced, they prayed. And they believe in prayer. And I tell them, pray. I don't have to tell them to pray. They believe in prayer. But I remind them every once in a while, don't get up here without praying. Now, church, hear me when I tell you this. I'm not beating you up tonight, but I'm reminding you that we can't just come in here at 5:45 on Sunday night and thank God that the singers have been practicing and everybody else has been praying. You need to get here early. You're part of this church. You belong here. You're part of the body. And as a member, as a part of the body of Christ, you have some responsibilities. We spoke about this Wednesday night in our training session with people that were kind of leaders in the church. They're leaders in the church. And we said, look, the higher you go in the church, the less privileges you have and the more responsibility you get. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I don't tell everybody this. But we have a little chart we look at. And at the bottom of that chart, we have attenders. These attenders are just that. They're people. They just come into church. They attend our church. And you know how we feel about that? Hallelujah. Thank God. We're glad they're coming to our church. They don't claim to be a member. They don't claim to be in the church. But they like coming to church. You were an attender one time. So were you, and so were you. And then the next step up, we have members. These are people, they've made a move for God now. And they've repented of their sins, maybe. They've been baptized, seeking the Holy Ghost at least. They're believing God for the Holy Ghost in their life. And they consider themselves members. And now those attenders, we don't expect anything out of the attenders. We don't expect them to show up for work days. We don't expect them to show up at the ministry fair Wednesday night like I expect every single one of you. We don't expect them. They might walk in the door back there and there'll be trash laying on the floor. We don't think a thing about it if they just walk over that piece of trash, because we're just glad they're here. may not sign up for this and sign up for that. We're just glad they're here. We're going to preach to them. We're going to reach for them. And we're going to believe for them. And we're going to pray that they'll make a move to God. But when you become part of the church, hear me now, there's some responsibilities that go with that. You start preferring the body over yourself. And so when the pastor says, hey, come on out here at 5:30 and come around the altar and let's pray and let's start the service with prayer, that's so that we can come and bust through our flesh and get through all the junk, pray down the power of heaven. Because when the attenders come at 5:45 or 5:50, they need that stuff you've been praying down already. They need to feel the power of God. And so that's part of what we do as the body of Christ. So, yeah, show up to practice. That's good. Show up, you know, sign up for funeral dinners and all that. That's good. But I'm going to tell you the most important thing you'll do for a church service is pray. Because if we ever stop doing it in the Spirit, we've just might as well lock the doors and go home. Y'all can sit down if you want to. I'm going to preach for another hour. You guys might as well sit down. Is that my Bible? Now, hey, good. I can preach another hour. Hallelujah. No, this is the wrong Bible. This is not the one with my notes. I'm going to wind down. Hey, don't go too far. Listen, the music, the atmosphere, the polish, the preparation, the counseling, the books, programs, the systems, the processes don't mean anything. It's all for nothing if we aren't praying and fasting. Solomon got ready to dedicate that beautiful temple. He had all the gold and all the silver and all the beautiful stones and all the decorations. So beautiful it was that it attracted royalty to come and just see the splendor of it, of what he had built. He had the choirs and they were all practiced up, tuned up. And he had the bands and they were all tuned up, practiced up. And he had the entourage and they all looked so nice in all their fancy robes. It was a meeting to be at for sure. But none of that brought the Spirit. If you go read it, you'll find in 2 Chronicles 7 that none of those things moved the Spirit of God. It impressed people, but it did not move God. But when he brought in those bloody sacrifices, laid them out on the altar, and they began to worship the Lord, and that beautiful worship attracted the true royalty. And 2 Chronicles 7 verse 1 says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. That didn't happen because of the gold. That didn't happen because of the silver. And that fire came down from heaven and it consumed not the gold and silver and not the fancy stones and not all of the pretty decorations, but it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. The glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter to the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. That's what we need. We need the Spirit of God. More than we need anything, we need the Spirit of God. And somebody comes in from the outside into this wonderful church. I pray they feel welcome. I pray that they like our seats. I pray they enjoy the carpet and the climate control and all of these things. But if they come and say, oh, what a beautiful building. Oh, what a great speaker. What beautiful music. What friendly people. And they leave and never say anything about feeling the Spirit of the Lord. Waste. Because our hospitality won't save anybody. Now we need to be hospitable, you understand. And our good singing won't save anybody. And can I tell you this even? Fancy preaching doesn't save anybody. See, Brother Hawkins, the Bible says by the preaching of the word. Well, it does say that. But it actually says by the foolishness of preaching. Not the fanciness of preaching. So what does that mean? Well, that means in the world standards, we look pretty silly. The world doesn't walk away and say how polished of an orator they are. The world walks away and say they got all sweaty and snotty and stomping and snorting, but man, I felt the Holy Ghost when he preached. Man, I felt something. There was something going, I don't know what you call that, but I felt something up and down my spine. I felt something crawling up my back. I felt when that preacher began to preach, it may not be fancy, but it's going to be anointed, and by the foolishness of preaching, well, praise God. Oh, I wish the musicians would hurry back. Come on back. Come on. I don't know what I'm doing tonight. Give me a break. Now, we need to discuss something, then I'm going to close. While we're talking about spirit and works and all these things, flesh and carnality, we need to talk about this little term called legalism. Legalism. And legalism is simply trusting in works for our salvation. We apostolics, we get accused of this sometimes because people who don't believe the way that we believe when it comes to separation and our lifestyle choices, they don't agree with us in that. They try to say that, well, you're saying that you're saved by your works. And the best way I can explain this to you is this way. Jesus looked into the tomb of a man that had been dead for 4 days and spoke into Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came forth alive, but he was bound. Bound from the top of his head to the bottoms of his feet in grave clothes, right? And Jesus looked at those around and said, loose him and let him go. You with me? Now listen, think about this with me. Lazarus was not alive because he got the grave clothes off. He got the grave clothes off because he was alive. You can go into the tomb and unwrap dead people, and they're just going to be unwrapped dead people. And you're probably going to get thrown in jail. At least you're going to be ill thought of. Jesus didn't do that. And Jesus didn't send the disciples or his friends into the tomb and say, get the grave clothes off of him before he raised him from the dead. Legalism says, this is legalism. Legalism says, go in there and undress and get the grave clothes off the dead man and he'll be alive. That's a lie. Your long hair, ladies, doesn't save you. And your haircuts, guys, doesn't save you. And you spitting white and walking right and all that doesn't save you. You're not saved because you cleaned your life up. You cleaned your life up because you were saved. Now, if we ever stand up here and preach to you and say, in order for you to be saved, bless God, better give up your cigarettes and you better stop that drinking. I don't know why I come to you. Drinking, quit your drinking. You got to give up. You give up those drugs. Give up that cussing. Give up. I just feel led to say right here. Quit being mean. And you'll be saved. That's legalism. That's not what we preach. We preach the same thing that Jesus was epitomizing when he spoke into death. He said, come forth. The gospel message is simple as this. You're dead in your sins. But Jesus Christ, through the cross, spoke into your death. He said, whosoever will, let him come. And dead men, that's what you are. You're a dead man walking, brother. You're a dead woman walking. You're dead in sins. And you couldn't do a thing about it. But the Lord said some words on that cross. Forgive them. It is finished. Powerful words. And so that now, if you say, Lord, I'll answer the call on my life, You said whosoever will may come. You don't. I'm a liar. Can I still come? Everyone, whosoever will. I'm a thief. Whosoever will. Oh, I'm a prostitute. Oh God, whosoever will. Let him come. You don't understand. I've done things nobody even knows. Whosoever will. And out of graves come walking dead people who were dead in sins, and now we come to altars and repent of our sins, and the Lord forgives us of our sins, and we get in a tank of water and get baptized, and He cleanses us of our sins, and we lift up our holy hands to God, and He fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost and regenerates us, and we become living, reborn. And here's what we preach. We preach that part that Jesus preached to Lazarus. You can't live in grave clothes. You're not saved because you quit cussing. But you'll quit cussing because you got saved. Because the Holy Ghost that's in you is grieved by your language. You're not saved because you stopped wearing revealing clothes. You stopped showing your body because you're saved. And know ye not that your body is the temple of Christ? It'll change your lifestyle because you're saved. If Lazarus had walked on through life in grave clothes, he would quickly have died. Because he was bound. He wouldn't be able to eat. He couldn't breathe through the death napkin. But because he changed. So, what are you saying, Brother Hawkins? How does that even tie into what you're talking about tonight? I'm just simply telling you that what we've got to learn to do is stop preaching grave clothes messages into the tombs of dead people. We need to preach love. We need to preach the Spirit of God. We need to have good church services, where they can hear the voice of God, where the gifts of the Spirit are operating, where the anointing of God flows, where when they come, they feel something in their heart, in their spirit. We need the Spirit of God speaking into lives. Now, when they come out of the grave, when they come out of the tomb, they begin to walk with the Lord. You know, they're going to hear Bible teaching about how to live now that you've been saved, how to walk with God, how to walk in His Word. But we don't preach get out of the grave clothes to people that are still in the tombs. We just need to have the Spirit of God moving and operating. And let the Spirit of the Lord lead you and guide you. You'll reach somebody. Let's stand together, shall we? Thanks for letting me speak into your lives tonight. I sure don't want it to be said of us, oh, foolish Pentecostals. Do you really believe that having begun in the Spirit, that you're going to be made perfect by the flesh? Do you really believe, Pentecostal church, having begun in the Spirit, being born in the Spirit, that you're going to continue having good revival services because you got good music, because you got good building, because you got skills? Let me tell you this. There are churches every week shutting down. They got good programs, and they got some good music, and they got nice buildings. But in this day and age, mark my words, the closer we get to the rapture, the less people are going to be moved by the smoke and the mirrors and the flashing lights and the fancy songs. And they're going to just want to know. The first question they'll ask you about your church, is the Spirit there? Is the Spirit there? We're going to get to the point where they won't even ask you anymore. If you go to that church, do you have to stop? They won't even ask that anymore. This world is so messed up, and they are going to be so hungry for the truth that they're just going to ask you, am I going to feel the Spirit of God there? We need the Spirit. More of you, Lord. Less of me. More prayer, more fasting, more of God. More revival. Folks, we started in the Spirit. We got to finish in the Spirit. Amen. Come on, I know the Lord has moved in this place tonight, but would you take a few minutes and find you a place and pray? If you're here tonight, maybe you want to repent of your sins. All you've got to do is kneel. Kneel where you are. Kneel at this altar and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. It's called repentance. And if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, can I just tell you that you can be baptized tonight, buried in his name and your sins washed away, and you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. I wonder if our praise singers would come, and I wonder, church, would you respond to the word tonight? Talk to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.